Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here for you on Colombo Chronicles Live podcast. And you can listen worldwide online at your own time frame. So, how many people can see but are blind? That's the question I'm posing to the world today. We have a very dynamic guest, a special best-selling author, Yolanda Nava, who will be with us, returning on Colombo Chronicles. And I want to ask everyone a question. Have you ever wondered how most people can see with their eyes, but they are blind to most things around them, even important things? And then there are people who could see and suddenly end up blind. But afterwards, they see more than they did when they had sight. And they recognize smells and feelings and touch and appreciation for those senses than when they had sight, like most of us who miss out. And we don't even look around at the environment and appreciate nature and the birds and what is happening and the people around us. We don't notice anything about them, like maybe the color of their eyes or how they look or how they're dressed or even listen to what they're saying sometimes. So this is amazing. This is an amazing story. And it proves that people, despite the obstacles that life brings to us, doesn't have to limit people to be what they want to be, do what they want to do, meet people they want to meet, and go to places and see things with their new extra senses and do what they want to do. So today I'm going to tell you a little bit about this wonderful guest. She is a dynamic woman, and she's a media pioneer in Los Angeles. She was the first Latina to appear on a network affiliate station, KNBC-TV Los Angeles. An Emmy award-winning journalist, she's anchored and reported in Los Angeles, Sacramento, on NBC, CBS, PBS stations, and in 40 cable markets. Host nationally syndicated Hispanic television magazine, Latina Tempo, garnered Yolanda Nava Entertainer of the Year Award. She was born and raised in Los Angeles, the daughter of Mexican immigrants, attended public schools, an undergraduate and graduate study, UCLA, in U.S. markets. She was also championed the empowerment of women, girls, families, a founder of three different organizations. Her groundbreaking best-selling book of Latino virtues, It's All in the Frijoles, was published by Simon & Schuster in 2000 and was selected as the best self-help book by International Latina Book Award and received an Irwin Award. She is an author, journalist, and Yolanda Nava moderated C-SPAN programs on The Border and in April 29, 2000, LA Times Book Festival, UCLA, that continues to resonate today. Her latest book that she is going to share with us today is Through the Dark, an inspirational memoir by Yolanda Nava, and it was published in 2021 and is receiving outstanding early praise from authors. She is a best-selling author as well. So I'm going to tell you a little more about the description of the book when we come back from this message. So, hey, don't touch that dial because we are going to enter into the world of authors and experts.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up because I'm going to take you on a journey by interviewing our very dynamic best-selling author, Yolanda Nava, and she is a broadcaster and she is award-winning broadcast. And the book, Through the Dark, is a very inspirational book that everyone should read. It's a nourishing and inspirational memoir penned by Emmy Award-winning journalist Yolanda Nava, and it's about her journey of self-discovery as a result of sudden blindness due to an undiagnosed autoimmune disease. The foreword for this book has been penned by nationally renowned oncologist Lawrence Perot, P-I-R-O, Dr. Lawrence Perot, who offers brilliant insights. Through the Dark is a story of challenge, spiritual awakening, growth, which is both inspiring and instructive. As with her best-selling book, It's All in the Frijoles, again, as I mentioned, published by Simon & Schuster, readers will gather strength and wisdom from Nava's story and learn how to empower themselves to confront their own challenges and circumstances and to have a strong sense of resilience as you move across the pages of this story and a true story and the lessons learned that provide food for thought as readers embark upon their personal journeys of self-awareness and healing. So let's get started. And let's welcome our dynamic guest today to Columbo Chronicles. And we'll say hello to Yolanda Nava. Hi, Yolanda. How are you today?
Well, hi, Rose. I am great. I'm just so full of activity and energy, and it's great to be with you. Thank you so much for that really lovely introduction. It is an exciting time having a new – this year is going to be a great year because – things are opening up. You know, we have certain crises and catastrophes always ongoing, but We're in a really interesting time, Rose. I think you know this too. We are being called to become better human beings, to ramp it up, to live our best selves, our virtues, to serve the world. I mean, there's so many things for us to do, and I find that exciting. I just started this month for Women's History Month in honoring women to interview a longtime friend and just a dynamo woman, Alma Martinez, who's an activist, a scholar, artist. You know, she's an actress, but she's got her PhD. And so I've interviewed her for Women's History Month on my new program called Yolanda Dava, Do You See What I See? So I'm excited about that, Rose, and I'm very excited about upcoming events that I have, which we can talk about later. But this book, Through the Dark, is really touching a lot of people. And I'm getting, emails from people who have read the book sometimes two times, and they get so much more out of it the second time. Takes you deeper and deeper, because I'm really laying it all out there, Rose, as you know. And I learned a lot writing the book, and I did some of the wrong things, like when I went into, negativity, and I just got stuck sort of when I was at boot camp. And then when I let all that go and was able to, feel a sense of being who I am again, in my more natural state of, environment and et cetera, the book shifts, and there really is a lot of wisdom there. And it's interesting because I'm also now drawing more from my mother's wisdom, which is what it's all of the Frijoles book is about. It's about the virtues that she taught me as a child. And those things came into play with this illness and with the challenge I had with the disease that was diagnosed that they believe caused the blindness. So it's been a very interesting time. I'm learning so much every day.
Well, you mentioned your mother. My mother passed recently. I miss her a lot because she was an inspiration to me. What would you say was the biggest inspiration to you that your mother passed on to you?
Well, it was when she was in her last 6 weeks, and we knew she had a terminal illness and she had about 6 weeks to live. And that's what happened. And I was able to be with her for every day for the last 4 weeks because my contract at KCBS had terminated, and it really gave me the opportunity to be with my mother at a very important time, and I was able to take care of her every day and be with her every day during those weeks. And that's when she passed the inspiration to me, when I asked her, what's made you so strong? And I said some lengthy thing, and she said, beans have made me strong. And it took me about 8 months after she passed. I mean, what does that mean? It's like a source of protein, beans and rice, and beans are a source of iron, but I didn't get it. It wasn't until I was making beans de la olla, beans in a pot, and washing the beans and sorting the beans that she had taught me to do, I went, oh, click, click. It's all of the beans, because it's that attention to detail in the smallest of everyday events, and it's that shaping ourselves, our virtues, respect, responsibility, hard work, loyalty, faith are the top five, and then you go to charity and chastity. And we need all of that right now. It's critical for us to wrap it all up, and we've let that go, and that's why we saw the real problems in the last several years before this last election. But it's and we're still suffering from some of that deconstruction and the lack of attention to character and to kindness and to mildness and to humility in a positive sense. So I learned a lot from her, as I'm sure you're going to realize over the coming months. You might even have a book in you too, because that's where I drew the idea for It's All of the Frijoles, was from her deathbed wisdom.
Yes, my mother, she was very active. She was a feminist before her time. Just to give you a quick idea, she wanted to work before women were supposed to go out and work. She she taught herself to drive when my dad was taking a nap. She would sneak the keys, and then she would drive around the block a few times. And she went out and got herself part-time jobs because she loved life, she loved people. And she golfed for 45 years as president. She was very politically active and flew around and golfed. And I mean, she was a real inspiration that you need to be active in doing positive things and making the world a better place.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And so I think that those values of the past need to be brought back to the future, to the youth, because we are a very immoral country right now, and we're not teaching children those values and those principles and how and good character, and that not just anything goes and there are no consequences and you're entitled to everything. And so I think that your book, because of your super success in the media when Latinas were not given opportunities for a very long time, until most recently, actually, in the 2000s, when more doors started opening and more acceptance was being offered. I think that your book is a book that provides inspiration that no matter how tough things are or how successful you are, sometimes life throws you, sideswipes you, and you need to go through the pain and the suffering and the grief, and then you need to pull yourself up and start being the person you were intended to be, and realizing that you can still create a television show, help people, help women, help people who have a disability, to encourage them, to empower them, and open the eyes of people who don't have disabilities, that you can empower yourself by positive thinking and believing in a higher power, is my belief, and also taking action, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The higher power is essential. And I was the first woman of Mexican background to appear on a network affiliate in Los Angeles, KNBC Television. And I just received a recognition for that in 2017 from La Plaza de Cultura y Arte as a media pioneer, you know, a Latina media pioneer, because I was the first woman. And that opened doors for a lot of other people. And it's interesting because you talk about success and all of that. I have been successful throughout my life, but I've also had some really difficult challenges. And years ago, back in the 80s and 90s, I was, you know, speaking about bouncing back from, you know, catastrophes and life-changing events, death and divorce and, you know, financial whatever. And I was talking about that way back when. To business and professional women's, you know, conferences in California, Governor Brown's conferences in California. And, you know, you expect certain things to happen. And then life is ticking along. I was living the life that I thought I wanted in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I was working for the governor. And I had a beautiful hacienda on a ranch, you know, 6 acres. I was gardening. I was just doing everything, traveling all over the state, doing a lot of good there, building bridges between the various communities, the very native communities, Hispanic communities, and other communities of the state, because they still have a lot of trauma that they're recovering from with the very violent history of New Mexico, you know, made it centuries ago, but it's still there, present in the energy field. And I was able to do a lot of bridge building there. And everything is going along, and it's all beautiful and fabulous. And then all of a sudden, bang, I lose sight in one eye. And 3.5 weeks later, I'm blind in both eyes. And it was interesting because as a journalist, I see with the observer's eye, and I know that, and we're learning, that it depends on what your point of view is, what you're going to see, because eyes really aren't physical, and sight isn't physical. It's not in the eyes. It's in the mind. And so we have to see more with greater discernment, and hopefully with spiritual discernment. And really, one definition of eyes is spiritual discernment, mental, not material. So, you know, we need to rethink physical capacities and hearing, sight, all of these things. What do you hear? Well, I hear beauty, and I look for the beauty, and I listen for truth and messages that are going to be uplifting, and how to be. I read scripture. I do Torah study. I'm not Jewish, but I do Torah study. I love it. And I read a lot of spiritually oriented materials. I've just been reading Spinoza, the philosopher from Spain, and I just reread E.F. Schumacher's Small is Beautiful. We need to look at that, because bigger, bigger, bigger isn't making the world a better place. It's disconnecting us from ourselves and from others, and greed and all the rest of it. But it's the spiritual piece is really important, as you know, Rose, very important. I would not be here today if I had not been a woman of great faith.
Yes, I think that miracles are not recognized by most people. Especially those who don't believe in God or a higher power or don't believe in miracles. They just think it's coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence, but I have personally experienced miracles and seen miracles happen to other people. And so I truly believe in the power of the mind and connecting with the higher power. And so I also listen to a lot of different people from different religious groups and what they have to say, not just one organized religion, because the world is connected by brothers and sisters, which are all human beings. And just because I believe one thing doesn't mean somebody can't add to that wisdom from
another
part of the world.
Yeah. That's what's so beautiful. And that's one of the things that I shared in the book, you know, Through the Dark, is drawing from different ancient and contemporary philosophy, wisdom, you know, religion. It's all there. We've let a lot go. We're relearning much of it. There is much more spirituality, positive spirituality going on out in the world. And I like to use that term because it is more embracive, I think, of all these different points of view and philosophies that, you know, you're referring to, too. But I'm a miracle, Rose. I am here because of the grace of God. My life has been saved 3 times. Once when I was 8 or 9, when I almost drowned. When I was a young girl at the beach in Surfside, Sunset Beach area near Long Beach, and a second time when I had a bicycle accident when I was in Boston consulting there in the early 2000s, I could have been killed very easily. I could have broken my neck. I could have been totally incapacitated during that accident, and I literally sort of was lifted off the ground. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel landing, but I did hard. And that's in my book, Through the Dark. I mentioned that experience. And then this last time in 2009, when I went into the hospital, I was dying. I was dazed from death. I heard from a girlfriend overhearing the doctors talk in the hallway. And I got through that because of faith, a deep and abiding faith. And I prayed affirmatively. My mother came to me in my distress at night when I was alone and afraid and feeling pain. And I talked to God. I prayed, you know, diligently, and I had damn good medicine, Rose. And the combination of those two things provided a miracle for, you know, by saving my life. And then the experience of the blindness hasn't been the worst thing in the world. It's been rather an avatar, you know, for creating a new, joyous, you know, creative, loving, amazing life, and I'm happier than I've ever been. So it's interesting how I could be able to say that. One would think so.
Yes, because during your experience of an unexpected blindness, wasn't that a difficult time as well when your husband suddenly decided he was leaving?
Yeah. Yeah, that was, the marriage had never been great, but it had been okay. And then he decides he's going to leave, and I challenged him on that. I write about that in the book, but everything went up in the air. I went through a divorce. It was a nasty one, and I wasn't anticipating that. That's not how I play any kind of situation. And everything went up in the air. It was like a rug had been pulled out from under me, and everything threw up. Was thrown up into the air. I was even homeless for a period of time, and I used that time to go to boot camp, which was hell on wheels. And then I come through that, and I thought of making a T-shirt, to say I survived boot camp. But anyway, nobody would understand what I was talking about. But these things we sometimes need to have, and I guess. One of the things I learned in the blind is one of the first things I got when I banged my head on the mesquite headboard in my bedroom shortly after coming home from the hospital was you need a spiritual practice, a daily spiritual practice, because I was kind of loose at ends about it. I did it. I didn't do it, meditating and stuff. And to take in that inspiration and to, which is taking in hyphen spirit, literally, to do meditation, and there are various styles of meditation. There's even a walking meditation, which I really like, Thich Nhat Hanh. There are so many ways to engage in our development of our higher self, our spiritual self. And I do believe we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and that we can travel a multi-lane highway and move from lane to lane, and we do move in and out of our physical realm and our spiritual realm. And thank God I was able to be in my spiritual realm when I was in the hospital.
Yes, because not everybody has that. Some people end up committing suicide or just giving up and living on the streets or whatever because they don't have that spiritual connection, and that spiritual connection gives you a lot of positive mind power to help yourself overcome whatever your issues are. And whether it's financial, health, political, personal, or being bullied, whatever it is. I mean, people talk about discrimination, but even people who are disabled are many times discriminated against. And or made fun of or teased, even casualty.
Yes.
So I think that learning that as a child is so important. I think it's missing throughout our entire nation now. I think there was more parents and grandparents teaching those things in the past than there are today, because it's a material world and everyone is being seduced through the internet and social media and video games and iPhones and texting. So there isn't that personal contact anymore. And I mean, meeting somebody online is kind of dangerous, in my opinion. And, there's so much. So you're talking about blindness, but they're going on blind dates.
Well, it's funny because in my chapter 10, I go to Brasilia, on a retreat, and I wasn't expecting to set any intentions. And as a result of that, one of my intentions manifested within a week. That's the power of intention and the power of, connection with spirit. But I met somebody through a mutual friend. She said, he's going to call you. And I said, okay. So he calls, and then we make a date, and then he calls me to confirm the date. He was very, very gracious and very charming. And so he calls, he says, well, would you prefer to meet me at the restaurant, or would you like me to pick you up at home? And I said, well, you're not a hatchet murderer. You can pick me up at home because you come highly recommended. But good God, I wouldn't want to meet somebody, without having a chaperone there in my case, because I can't pick up cues or see. You have to, there's a lot of intuition through what we see in front of us, and just kind of, a vibe that you get. I had a date a few years ago, and my girlfriend was my chaperone. She went with me because
well,
I wasn't going to meet some strange guy.
I mean, because like I started off the show and I said, you know, that people can see with their eyes, but they're blind to many of the things around them or what can even happen to them. And one of the things that can happen to you, you could be kidnapped or killed or injured or raped if you don't take precautions and be careful of who you're meeting and who, you know, and finding out more about a person first. So it's really interesting how times have changed. But you also, how did you actually become successful as a Latina at a time in the media when it was rare that you didn't see a Latina?
There wasn't anybody.
In the movies, they were either maids or they were chauffeurs or they were babysitters, and they were chubby and not pretty. You know, they were just plain Janes, unlike the movie stars.
Well, I think there was the days of glamour in the 40s, you know, where you had a number of Latina movie stars you didn't know, necessarily know by their last name, but they were. And I was very fortunate, Rose, because it was my work in the community, my commitment. I used to counsel high school dropouts as part of the War on Poverty. I worked for United Way at that time. I was a counselor, then I directed the countywide program. And it was that service and starting a new organization to empower Chicana Mexican-American women. Now we use the term Latina. But as young girls, because I saw what was happening to the girls, they were dropping out early, and so I wanted to empower them and get them on a good footing and get their educations completed and hopefully keep them from getting pregnant too young, because, you know, many got pregnant very young and sometimes by predatory males. You know, this is a problem that, again, we haven't identified totally. But it was that desire to serve and to help that I was. I mean, I would take these girls home with me for the weekend, you know, and it was just that I was single and I could do that. I loved it. I loved my girls. And in fact, I heard from about five of them at a recent Christmas, and it was very sweet because they have had very successful lives. And if five did, I know many more did. And so it was very satisfying. And it was a meeting that I had. I got to a political event, and I met the executive producer of a television show for KNBC television, who was going to be appointed deputy mayor under Mayor Bradley. And he wanted to replace himself with a male-female team. And because I met him at this gathering, and because I told him about what I was doing and working with the women and starting this new group, he invited me to come host the show. And after 6 weeks of auditioning me, which I didn't know they were doing, I was hired. And so I became the first Latina on a, you know, network affiliate. So it was service, Rose. And I think that's one of the things everybody's looking, grabbing, you know, going after and seeking money and this and that. The other thing, I just wanted to serve. And my mother taught me as a child. She says, if you see something that's wrong, if you see something that needs to be changed, you have to step in and do something about it. And my mother was always a bird like yours. My mother was a birth control advocate. And she would talk to women on the streets and, you know, at Newberry's downtown. She worked in the garment district. And so I picked all this up from her. And so I was probably pretty controversial. And some people said, you know, be careful. We're glad you're talking to our girls about birth control and this and that and the other thing. But be careful. We don't want you to get a bad reputation in the community. And so I was empowered by mothers and women in the community. And the guys were difficult. And it was funny. And I have to write about all that sometimes because I can laugh about it now. But at the time, I had to stand up and really push for the benefit of these young girls. And that's what gave me my opportunities. And they've grown from there because it's about service. And when you want to serve, you're going to be rewarded. I've had a very rich and rewarding life, and it's not over, and I'm still enjoying it. I've traveled to three countries since I've been blind. It's a miracle. I mean, it is because of the service. And I know it's opening up even more now because the world is changing, and we all have to step in and make it a better place. And we have to love each other. We have to be more
loving and tolerant and mild and meek and loving and humble. And we need to develop that sense of faith and strengthen our virtues in the process, and that we can do anything. All things are possible through those who love God, my mother taught me. And that's always been part of my internal clock.
That is very true because, I mean, I was in the beauty business for 25 years, and I was traveling around the country as well. I owned a spa, and I heard so many stories. Well, I was a licensed esthetician as well, and I heard so many stories from the women of, you know, things that happened in their life and how they didn't know how they were going to overcome. Their husbands left them. They wouldn't pay them any support, and on and on and on. So it turned out that I was not only helping them, there was a particular black girl who came in, and she's had her hair all pulled back. And so I said, hey, oh, no, she didn't. She had it all wiry. And I said, hey, I said, have you ever thought of putting your hair in a bun and sit down and let's do a little facial and I'll give you, put some makeup on you, because she was wandering around outside. I could see her. Like, she wanted to come in, but I invited her in.
Yeah.
So I sat her in the chair because it was a slow day. And that girl came back. I took pictures of her, and that girl came back like 2 weeks later. And Yolanda, I will never forget this. She said, I want to come back and tell you, you saved my life. I go, how did I save your life? And she said, the day I was wandering around your salon and you invited me in your spa, and she said, and you made me feel so good about myself. She said, I was going to commit suicide that day.
Yeah.
So
we never know.
No, no. And I will never forget that, because I was like, oh my gosh, just one act of random kindness, you know, saves a life sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a young man, and he called me. What? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, and I believe that, you know, that's what we need to put back into the universe is our positive thinking, our positive thoughts. Even if you smile at someone, you see a lot of unhappy people today because of what's happening in the country and the world, very concerned, the skyrocketing cost of food, we're going to have a famine, blah, blah, blah. I say, trust God. I mean, you look to the back, to the past, Yolanda, and kids were taught about crops and growing food and preserving food, going through hard times when crops weren't there, and how to eat oatmeal every day in the morning because they had no other food, going out and getting water. I mean, people survived. They still survived. And so we are so spoiled today that we think if we can't go to the market, you know, that we're going to starve to death when, like you, through the dark, you used your higher power and your took action and you pulled yourself up and you're still successful to this day.
Yeah, it's amazing how we can get through anything because all things are possible through those who love God. I mean, like you say, that faith for me, I don't know how you get. I have a saying, you know, like the American Express, you know, faith don't leave home without it. And it is very important and to, you know, to be loving and caring and giving and all the rest of it. We can get through this. I look at this Putin's war. I wrote I'll send it to you, a poem for a prayer for Ukraine. And it turned out to be quite lovely and moving to many people. And I see my look at the good thing, what can come good of this situation. If we ended war, we would really move climate change goals forward by leaps and bounds because war is damaging to the environment. And also, if we reduce all this oil and gas and everything else that's flowing around the world, we will also move towards our climate change goals in a reasonable amount of time. We don't have much time left because of the sustainability issues on the globe. And so I see that my optimistic view of what could come of this horrific situation, it shouldn't be happening. It's unmentionable. It's just ridiculous. But it is an opportunity as well. And all crises are an opportunity. And I think in my own life, I've looked at my situation. I just said, I got to keep going. And I cared about the project that I was creating, La Plaza de Cultura y Arte in Los Angeles, which is now celebrated its 10th anniversary. We were just thinking it through and going through the early construction planning when I was on the board of Lost Site. And I continued to participate in those meetings. And I had to get my skills up because I had to make phone calls. And it was that sense of purpose. So the purpose of making the world a better place is really something that can drive us. And to be better, we really need to wrap it up. We, like you say, we're too materialistic. We've lost our focus and what's really important. Money is not the God. It's been made into a God. It's everything to everybody, you know, too many. And it, the greed that comes with that and the abuses that come with it have been irresponsible. And everything is not necessary.
It's actually destroying the, it's actually this progressive advanced technology can be used for good, of course. And it is, but it can also create a world of corruption if people at the top are more concerned about greed and the material world and power and control, and they can never get enough because they thrive on it and it becomes their obsession, and they lose focus that they are human beings, we're all human beings, and that their purpose and why they were elected was to do the will of the majority of the people, which was to protect their freedom, their liberty, their rights, their individualism, their sovereignty of their nations. Because if we don't have sovereign nations, we won't have races and ethnicities like we've always had, and countries to visit and enjoy and learn and be educated by other civilizations, races, ethnicities, and their foods and their dancing and their music. And I think that would be, and their architecture and their art. I mean, to me, that just is a blessing to be able to go to a different country and enjoy the people and everything that they've developed in their countries.
Absolutely. And I've been fortunate across my life to travel to different countries, and I enjoy it so much because it is, like you say, it's very enriching, and people are beautiful. We can learn from each other, and there's so many loving people out there, and they meet you in these different countries, and I've met new people and made friends in these different countries that I've traveled to, and it has been an enriching and very beautiful experience, and we want to continue to do that. I just believe that we need to focus on how we want to live, what kind of world do we want to live in, and we need to envision that for ourselves and literally pray it in and take the human actions to make it happen, because it is possible to unite the world in a positive way, not to make it all the same, but to allow harmony and peace to abound in the world, and that's going to enrich everybody, because if we didn't spend all this money on bombs and armaments and then try to reconstruct, we could be, educating every child in the globe with all the resources that are thrown away in bombs and, destruction. It's very interesting. We have to feed them. God, yes, feed the hungry. Isn't it amazing what Jose Andreas is doing? It's just that Global Kitchen. It's just an amazing service that he's provided. And he did it out of, a sense of what am I going to do with all these restaurants, because, the economy was collapsing at the time because of COVID. And here he's feeding people all over the world and doing such a wonderful human service. He's now all over in Ukraine now. It's just there's so much good that is out there. Unfortunately, we don't focus on it, but we need to really, what kind of world do we want? And we have to really pray on that and work towards it. And each person that is out there, you know, listening to this program, and everybody in the world can really dig into their heart and say, what can I do? And each of us can do one thing. That's one of the reasons I've been trying to write and engage more, and I want to looking at working more with young people, and I'm working with the library systems now. I'm coming up with an event April 8th, Friday. It's with the Braille organization, and it's, you know, you can go on the BrailleInstitute.org and go to the Anaheim Center, and then they have events, and I'm doing an event at 1 o'clock, 1 to 2:30 on Friday, April 8th, and I'm excited about that because I want to work more with libraries and with people who are both sight and parent handicapped, and all people, because the principles are the same. Whoever we are, we could just draw from that magnificence, which is who we really are when we identify with the magnificent qualities of spirit of God, Allah, Yahweh, whatever we want to call the divine. And it becomes very exciting.
It is an exciting time. I tell people this is a challenging time. We're fortunate to be chosen to be living at this time so that we can complete our missions and our purpose to make it a better world and leave a little mark in the world, hopefully for future generations. And because it is the people who have lived through pain and suffering and good times and success and understand what the consequences are to take the wrong path of wars and destruction and creating foods and drinks that have preservatives and chemicals that are not good for people or whatever it happens to be. I think the people at the top, especially on Wall Street, need to take a look at what they have done to the environment over the generations and stripped, like the rainforest, and are stripping the rainforest and the trees and so forth, and spraying our skies with chemicals and everything else you can think of. I think they need to take a serious look at how can they help, because they're millionaires and billionaires, how can they help restore the trees and the plants and clean up the soil and the water and the oceans and garbage island, rather than spending the money on wars and killing people.
Yeah, there's plenty of abundance in the world. There's plenty of resources to feed everybody. And all these children of the world that are suffering, you know, and need to be educated, fed, first of all, taken care of, protected, provided for, but educated, because there's so much brilliance in all of the creative world. And gosh, the ideas that come up, and there's just, there's a lot of good going on. We don't focus on it. Unfortunately, the news business, you know, tends to be more negative. I think I had one news director when I was very young, and I said, why can't we do some positive stories? He says, because a guy sitting watching television wants to see the other guy get screwed. I said, no, that's not the way we want to live. But, you know, we have to think out into the world that these kids have these ideas, and they need to be nourished and encouraged, and they need to be fed and taken care of. And there's certainly enough abundance to do that in this country, especially, and we have enough to share.
Especially in this country.
Yeah.
There should be no children going to school hungry.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And it's all coming to a head. And again, I look at this as, like you do, as very, it's challenging, but it's a positive time, because it's a time to really dig in and look at how we can each contribute in whatever way, with whatever gifts or talents. We all have something. We all have gifts and talents. And I see it as our responsibility to figure out what they are, and then to develop them and give it back to the world. And that's really what I'd like to see children learn, is that each of them has a gift and a talent. Each adult has a gift and a talent. And we need to nourish these things and allow people to bring their creative gifts. We all have them out into the world. And that is what's going to make the difference, is each of us taking the human steps. I always like to say we're God's hands and feet in the world. You know, God is not seen. God is not walking around on the planet, but is visible through individuals. And so we have to take the actions. It's not some force up there waving a wand. It's us. We're it. We have to be the doers that make the changes in the world. And that's what I find empowering and exciting.
You reminded me of a moment when one of my daughters was having her meltdown over something personal. And she was crying, you know, oh, God, help me, and da-da-da. And finally, she was on the staircase, and I don't know, I just blurted out, I shouted at her, I go, get up, because God isn't going to show up at your door, knock on it, and make everything right. God wants you to get up, take action, be positive, and take steps to get out of this situation. And she was like, she looked at me and she started laughing. And she never forgot that, because she stopped crying. And she's like, oh, well. I mean, we believe in God, but he's not going to come down here and say, let me make everything better for you. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. No, he gives us the empowerment and the mind to help ourselves. And I think, you know, in the spirituality, if we accept it and seek it. And so that was a moment that she was a little shocked. And because I'm a true believer. I'm a consumer advocate for justice, Yolanda. I've been doing this since 1989, helping women and children around this Southern California here, and consulting with them and helping them with food or whatever. And especially women who are single moms. And so I'm a very controversial person. And so when I went to Fox News with my a show I created back then, and it was hit the TV guide in the 90s, and it was, people were calling it a ministry, and bringing on victims who had suffered injustices, and then politicians or community workers and lawyers to discuss it, discuss their dilemma. I went to Fox, and I just learned, you know, not long ago, that Roger Ailes liked blondes. So I guess I was out. But, you know, it just goes back. It reminds me of you when you, you know, you were surprised, you know, here they were actually auditioning you, and thank God they did. And so, you know, you broke through the mold, which was really, you know, which was fantastic. And so the rest of us beat the bushes, you know, we created our own thing on cable when cable wasn't as popular. And, but it still sent the message out there that we need to get involved with our court system and know who our judges are and know who our city council and our county workers are and what they are actually voting on, because it affects our children, our schools, and our lives and our community. So if you can't go to Washington, D.C., you can do something in your own city, county, or state, was my philosophy. And it's up to us to take action. And
we need to look at their character.
Right.
What have they done? I mean, good God, look at what happened. I mean, look at the character. You know, it's I'm amazed at how many of these guys that have been in and out of jail and have done all kinds of horrible things get these positions. And so it's
because they're not looking at the character, they're electing characters.
Let's go for character. But that's why I love reviving It's All in the Free Holist, because there is so much wisdom there. And I'm starting to, you know, talk to some of the people that are in the book that, you know, that are still with us. You know, they were younger then. But there's so much history and wisdom. It's amazing. And I wanted to mention, I'm going to be at the Book Publishers of Southern California booth at the Los Angeles Tides Book Festival at USC on April the 23rd, that Saturday. It's a weekend event. And I did that back in 2000 and did a C-SPAN show and everything. It was so wonderful and very empowering. And that C-SPAN was on the border, and I also had a book, and I interviewed three other authors, and we talked about border issues from different perspectives, and it's amazing how it continues to make sense now. This is, what, 20-something years later, and we still have resolved some of those issues. So I'm excited about it, that there's, you know, renewed interest in that book, and the new book, Through the Dark, is finding its audiences, and I am thrilled to be able to work and to be able to talk with you and to, you know, just keep out there empowering people and building bridges. That's really what we need in the world. I'm so grateful to the president for pulling together all of the world except for four countries. Isn't that amazing? And to unify against this horrific dictator, you know, who just plowed into Ukraine for no reason at all. So it's except greed and
that is so amazing.
Power.
It boggles the mind.
Doesn't it?
It does. It boggles my mind. I'm like, why would you do that? I mean, they weren't attacking you. Hello.
It's
mind-boggling. And to see people made homeless and wearing backpacks and having to take their children and leave their homes, I can't justify that. There's no way I can justify it unless you were under attack, but they weren't under attack, and that's what's mind-boggling to me. There's no justification for it.
Yeah, there isn't. But this is all part of this shift that we're seeing. This we're at a critical turning point, you know, and it is a crisis. We're in crisis. And the Chinese word for crisis is opportunity. That's why I say I look to see the opportunity that's here, because it can help if we slow down all the gas production and everything else. We will move towards our climate change goals. So perhaps that's the lesson we're learning. We either heal the planet or we destroy it. And we're at that juncture. And that's the same thing with individuals. You know, there's so much more we can draw from, so much more we can draw from. I've got a lot of work I'm still doing on myself, and I keep, you know, trying to grow and, you know, step into whatever is the next thing I have to do and challenge I have to, you know, confront and try to resolve it and just try to serve and do good and build those bridges of love and understanding and harmony and peace and help us know who we really are as spiritual beings having this human experience. And we could be so much more and do so much more than we do.
I think we will. I think that the positive positivity will continue to expand, because people are realizing this is a crisis and you got to get off the fence and get on one side or the other. And you need to take action, whether it's just a random service to somebody every single day, or your family or your children or whatever it is. Teaching and educating people on not forcing them, your beliefs on them, but providing food for thought. I think that's so important, you know. And Yolanda,
Absolutely.
I'm sorry we came to the end of this interview, because I really enjoyed talking to you. Yolanda Nava, her book is Through the Dark, and she is a wonderful human being of inspiration and growth and positivity and inspiring and instructive. So be sure to get her book, Through the Dark. And Yolanda, please tell our guests if there's a website they can find you on and also how to get your book.
Yes, my website is www.YolandaNava.com, And the book is available wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Target. Target carry both books and doing a package of two books. And local bookstores could call the book in if they don't have it in the store. They're not tending to carry books in stores right now. But it's out there and available, and I hope people will get it and read it, learn from it, and live into some of the ideas that I'm sharing, because everything is possible, and we really can make this world a better place. So thank you so much, Rose, for having me on today.
Well, thank you for being with us today, and we'll talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Absolutely.
God bless
you. Take care. Bye.
Bye. And Yolanda Nava has left the building, and Rose Colombo. The Rose must leave the building as well. And remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me. But together, we can make a positive difference. Remember, you're never alone when you tune in to God and when you tune in to Colombo Chronicles Live. Bye-bye.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.